At the podium, it's not about any particular gift being more important than any other particular gift. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 11 tells us that he has given some what? Teachers, preachers, prophets. Everyone has a gift and everyone has a calling, but it's all by the self same spirit. It's by the same spirit of God. And so regardless of what we are called to do, it's truly a blessing to be honored by God, to be used by God. So pray with me now as I begin. But God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the ability to gather together, whether in person or online. We thank you. We thank you that you teach us. You are so gracious, so merciful, that you love us so dearly, that you are our everything. You are the I am that I am. And as I always pray, may I not be in the way of what you would want to speak to your people. May I just be that vessel, that mouthpiece, for whatever message you want to communicate, led by your spirit, spoken truly, with accuracy, balance, and clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, there's so much to say. Even before we get into the word, I just, Elder Coach's testimony, I you know, you don't hear of testimonies like that often, and yet they happen. We know they happen on a regular basis. To be at that level of that diagnosis, it reminded me of the prophet Elisha in first in second King, first Kings, I think, chapter 5, and where he was dealing with Naaman and his and the servants of the Syrian king. And he told, yeah, 2 Kings 5. And he told him this particular person had leprosy. And he says, the prophet says, go down, and wash in the River Jordan. Dip yourself 7 times in there. And it was a tall task because the king of Israel at the time said, what are you asking of me to do? Am I supposed to have the power to recover this man of his leprosy? He said, if you would have asked basically any other thing, I would have been willing to do this, but you're asking an impossible task of me. And the prophet got word of this and said, no. He said, send this message to Naaman and tell him to dip in the River Jordan 7 times. And Naaman was upset because he thought there was something more spectacular that should have been done and some sort of demonstration that should have taken place. And finally, he listened and he went down and he dipped. And some of us know the story, in the River Jordan. And the Bible says that his skin was as the skin of a baby. Now, we, so I'm thinking of Elder Coach's testimony about how God not only can heal, but God goes above and beyond. That power, that healing, as we know, he is the God that does exceedingly and abundantly above all. So he doesn't just take you to a point of being okay, but he can take you beyond what you even imagine, beyond what you even expect. And I also think about my dear grandmother that my uncle Marcus has spoken of earlier. And I always remember how she just loved to watch me preach. Ever since I was, what, 17, I started preaching at age 17. And she just, she loved to watch me preach, and would always try to get me to fly to Texas and come preach down here and, preach to your cousins. And I'm like, Grandma, I said, and it was just such a blessing, when we had her homegoing celebration that I was able to, I think I sort of hijacked that sermon. And my Uncle Will was, he was eulogizing and God had placed some things on my heart to share. at the time. And so it was definitely a blessing to be able to at that celebration to share the gift that God has given me. So, but I'm not going to belabor the moment. And today I plan to be pretty quick. This is, I believe, Uncle Will, this is part one of two. Correct me if I'm wrong. Doing a short series, and the subject of this series is mistaken identity. And when I was asked to preach, this came to me because I thought about how we live in such a society. From the time we're born, we are constantly inundated with messages of who we truly are. We are categorized by the color of our skin. We are categorized by our socioeconomic status. We are ca categorized by the level of education that we attain unto. We're categorized by the jobs we hold, by the circles that we hang around socially. And there's all these labels that we're inundated with. And we are identified with all these different markers. And the world tells us, society tells us, this is who you are. And oftentimes this can lead to, from a psychiatric standpoint, this can lead to disorders. This can lead to anxiety. This can lead to depression. This can lead to a whole host of issues that we see that are prevalent, that is prevalent in our society. And so, if anything, I feel like within the Christian realm, we have an epidemic of people not really understanding who they are. And it's this mistaken identity. And so I hope and I pray over the next this sermon and the next one that we understand a little bit more about who we truly are. And then the second part of this is why we are who we are. So Deuteronomy 28 and 13, we're going to just jump right into it. It says, "And the Lord shall make you, I'm going to read from the King James, make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only and not beneath." And then the qualifier of that, the second part of that scripture, I'm going to hold off for part two, but God will make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And when I've read this in the past, I struggled understanding what this truly meant. Because if you think of being the head and not the tail, being above only and not beneath, then you're always thinking about being the leader, amen? But that's not what he's saying here. Because you look at our jobs, you look at different settings, we're not necessarily always the leader, and everyone can't be the leader at all times because you need people to follow. You need the leader is only strong as what? The followers that are actually willing to follow that leader. And so he's not talking about a societal thing, the world system here, but it's referring to authority. It's referring to our power in God. That is what this is talking. You will be the head. The head represents a position of power. The tail represents the opposite. And so you will be above only and not beneath. And there's other scriptures that talk about this, that he's put the enemy under our feet. And we'll get under into that a little bit later. But it talks about our authority and our power that we have in God. Luke 10, 19 and 20 reminds us who we truly are. We are powerful. We are powerful people. The Lord says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." And again, we're not talking physically snakes and physically these scorpions, but he's talking spiritually about these powers. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all, this is what excites me, over all the power of the enemy. And he says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then 20, we're going to get into that part, that's part two of the message. But power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, power in the spiritual realm. So who are we? We are powerful. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We have authority. Everyone I'm talking to, everyone who hears me, you are powerful. You have authority in the name of God, in the name of Christ. Amen. He continues on, I believe, in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:13, the first part of that says, ye are the salt of the earth. And we understand at that time, without refrigeration, salt was used what? To preserve things. But salt was also used to season. It was used to bring out the best of something. And we're gonna table that for the next week. Matthew 5:14, the beginning of that says, ye are the light of the world. And when I was reading this, you are the light of the world, the light of the world. I went back to Genesis. And this is very, for me, the importance of calling us light, because the very first thing that God created was what? In Genesis 1 and 3, he says, let there be light. There was nothing but darkness, the Bible tells us. And the first and most important thing, the most important cosmological commandment that the Lord made was yet let there be light. And I'm staring a little bit because I'm excited. So pray that I can take my time and share this message without any distractions. You are the light of the world. And he says, let there be light. And it shows the importance of our position, our role on this earth. And it's no coincidence you juxtapose that with John 1 and 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see, even back then, at the beginning of creation, I believe that the Lord was thinking about us in our current ministry, when he says, let there be light. And so our lives echo, our lives mirror the power of creation. When there was nothing but darkness, think of that, your life echoes the power of the beginning of what was. That's who you are. You are that powerful light shining in darkness. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I could have preached the whole sermon on just that part of that scripture, because these are four very different things, but very poignant, very powerful statements. He says, you are chosen. I chose you. Psalms tells us that he knew us in our mother's womb. He knew us before we were even born, and even knew us before we were even conceived, and called us to carry out his good works. We are a royal priesthood. We have such a royal lineage. So people get caught up so much in royals in this world, but real royalty is spiritual. Real royalty is given by God above. Real royalty is not the people who sit in castles and go by the titles of kings and queens and duchess and princes and princesses. That's not royalty. Royalty is given through faith, amen, through faith by us who believe in Christ. That's royalty, your royalty. Everyone calls everyone, every woman, queen. And you know, listen, Uncle Marcus, yes, my aunt Teresa, she is your queen, and we are you are queens. But here's you have biblical basis to actually call my Aunt Teresa, a queen, because the biblical basis is 1 Peter 2 and 9. That yes, she call her a queen. You know, brothers, call your ladies queen. 1 Peter 2 and 9. That is not a secular or worldly thing. This is biblical. We are descendants of royalty. We are royalty. A holy nation. Holy, you are set apart. And I wish I could hear the claps and the amens, you know, and it's tough to preach and you're just looking at yourself and looking at thumbnails, but you know, I'm here, I'm with y'all, I love y'all. Keep praying for me. Okay, a holy nation, a holy nation, a holy nation, a people that are set apart, sanctified within a nation. It's not a sub nation. If anything, it's a super nation. When you say sub is below, but we already understand from earlier in Deuteronomy 28 that you're not below, but you're above only. So if anything, we are not a sub society or a subset. We are a super set, a super society, because he has positioned us in a position of power to be above everything that is status quo, to be above everything that is stuck on this lower vibration, and we'll say lower energy, you know, if I could use that from a vernacular, above these things that are worldly into that which is truly spiritual, dictated and created by our God. And he says, a peculiar people. A peculiar people, peculiar, it's not that you're strange, but that you are unique, that you are different, that you don't look and sound and feel like everybody else. You could just walk into a room and somebody should just say, did a Christian just walk in here? Because I something just shifted. I just feel the atmosphere just shifted a little bit. Somebody in here must truly know God. Somebody must truly have a relationship with God, because something just feels a little bit different. Well, it should, because when the power of light, the creative creation light walks into any space. That's why it says you are more than conquerors. You walk into any space, you change the environment. You change it. It's just who you are, it's your nature. You don't have to try. You don't have to try to be present or let the Holy Spirit be present. It's just who you are. You everywhere you go, everybody you interact with, oh, something must be special about you. Well, there is, and let me tell you why I'm different, why I'm unique. Romans 8:17, and if children, we're getting back to this royalty, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Children, this is deep now, because he says in the same, Paul is saying this to the Romans. He says, children, but he also says heirs. So we got that royalty, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if you're an heir, that means you are in line to receive whatever riches, right? Whatever blessings, whatever real estate, and we know our real estate supersedes anything on this earth. Our real estate is not seen by human eyes. Our real estate is above what we can see, above what we can tangibly experience here. Our real estate is beyond. And so we inherit all of these great things. And that's why he says joint heirs with Christ, because everything that Christ was showing us in the physical, what did he say? Greater works than these. And I think sometimes that scares us. Because we say, oh, no, this is the Lord doing this. There's no way that I can do greater works than all the things. And the Bible says that the world cannot contain books, if every miracle that the Lord performed was recorded, the world itself, perhaps the world itself, could not contain. And that's a lot of miracles. But he said, no, greater works than these shall you do, because I go away. So you got some more time. You can make an impact in so many more ways. Not of yourself, obviously, but because I am doing the work. I am with you. I am sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be operating through you to do these things, to do these healings, to do all of the things that you've seen me do. So you're joint heirs with Christ. Now, I love this in John 15 and 13. The Bible says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, to be called a friend of God, because Matthew 6:33 tells us he did what? Gave his life for us. And John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So to be called both a child of God and a friend of God. And I said, well, wait, we're taught parenting manual, which I don't have kids. Parenting Manual 101 says, and I'm quoting from this fictitious manual I'm creating right now, is that you can't be friends with your children. How many times have people said that, and you've heard that, and especially within the Black community, amen? It's like, boy, don't you ever, So anyway, I'm having flashbacks of my youth. So to be children and friends, yes, you can be both. Now, I take this real life example. I know she'd probably be embarrassed, both of them, of my dear niece Lexi and her mom Andy. And they have such a beautiful kind of friendly sister relationship, big sister, older sister, And yet, such a beautiful mother and daughter relationship where they love being around each other. And you just, your friends, you want to be in their presence. And that's God with us. God wants to be with us. He just wants to hang out. Sister Rose said that she gets up at 4 a.m. just to hang out with God. God wants to hang out with us. And your friends you want to be around, they just make you feel, you see, hey, you see your friend and you just, you don't, you want to hang out, you want to spend the day with them. And that's God with us. And then I look at Lexi and I look at Andy, and there's that still from Lexi to Andy, there's still that respect that she gives her every day, that you're my mother. And I respect that, I reverence that. And even though and listen, we all, as we grow up, and there are always going to be some of this, but I think as we mature more and more, we truly appreciate year after year our parents and what who they are in our lives and what they've instilled in us. And then I believe that they become even closer friends. The more we mature, the more we grow, our parents become even closer to us. And the same way spiritually with us and the Lord, the more we grow, the more we mature spiritually, we just want to be with the Lord more and more and learning and growing. And I don't want to get out of prayer right now because I'm just having such a great time hearing from you, and I want to talk to you more and more. So you are a child of God and a friend of God, just someone who God wants to hang out with. And I hope, and we're going to be wrapping up here soon, but I hope that through this, we can take these things and we start to rewrite some of the things that we've been taught through society, that we start to rewrite some of the lies that we've been told. No, you're not powerless. You are supreme. You are so powerful. The light of creation is who it's just beaming. It's part of your soul. We're going to get to that because there's biblical basis for that. So Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." And again, with the ending part, the beauty of this, what God gave me is that part one of this sermon is a lot, the beginning parts of these scriptures, and part two is the answer to why. It's why we are who we are. But the first part is who we are. And we have to understand who we are before we can understand why we are. Workmanship, I think of that, and you're talking about the master carpenter. And I think there's no coincidence that when God wrapped himself up in human flesh and lived this life through the person of Jesus Christ, that he chose to be a carpenter. I don't believe any of that was by chance. I think there's a lesson there, and it's all about creating. It's all about crafting. It's all about understanding that God knows how things should fit jointly together, rightly together, you know, how the plumb line should be, how everything needs to be level, that there's no detail missed with him. There's no detail, and he talked a lot about buildings and cornerstones and got and to really hammer home the fact that I am so meticulous, because at the time I'm just saying this, I'm not quite sure, but I would say at the time of the professions in that very agricultural society, the carpenter probably had the job that was most focused on details. And focused on things having to be exactly right from a building standpoint. Amen. Making sure, because if something's off and you sit down on a chair and you fall off, you know, or the table's not right and then it's always rocking, everything had to be so meticulous. And so I feel like there was no coincidence that he said, I'm going to be a carpenter and work with my hands and just give you a little example of what I do on a cosmic scale and what I do in your life, that the very hairs of your head are numbered, that I take care of every single detail on in earth at the same time. I'm making sure this one is taken care of, that one is protected. I'm making sure this one is being watched over. I'm making sure that this one has a good night's sleep. I'm making sure this one's broken heart is being mended. I'm making sure all these things are happening at the same time. And at the same time, I know that hair number 15,562 just fell out of your hair, while at the same time, this brother was shaving hairs number 10,000 to 15,000 off of his beard, and this one, and he's managing meticulously all of these details at the same time. We are his workmanship. You are his workmanship. You are the created, the crafted, beautiful piece of art. Made by the hands of God. And you say, okay, well, we're made by his hands. You were made by his hands. Genesis 1:26, to really understand how uniquely special we are, we have to go back to the creation story. We have to go back to the beginning. And God said in 26, and let us make man in our image after our likeness. And we're going to go down to, he said, well, how did he do this? In Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So there's that carpenter, that master carpenter going with his hands. He said, you know, everything else I created, I just spoke it. I said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be beasts of the field, let there be waters, let there be land, let there be a firmament in the heaven. So if you're actually beyond and above and superb the firmament of heaven, come on, somebody. If you're beyond what he spoke in the cosmos and the stars in the sky and the moon that he spoke and said, it's going to rule the day, it's going to rule the night, and the sun will rule the day. He spoke, he spoke, he spoke. But when it came to us, the Bible said, I'm going to go down with my hands into the earth, and I'm going to meticulously create this being. I'm going to take my time with forming this being. And then the Bible said, but that wasn't enough because he could have left us as these inanimate or animate beings. But he said, no, I don't want to just create something on the outside, but now I want to put myself, I want to put a piece of myself inside of this being.
Come
And the
on, Jim.
Bible
Come
said, he
on, come
breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So it wasn't enough that he took his time out of the clay to form each and every part of our bodies from head to toe, the organs, the sinews, the tendons, the ligaments, the cells on a cellular level to create these things that we couldn't even see until later through a microscope. He said, I'm going to create this and the nuclei, and I'm going to create all this stuff, but it's not yet complete until I, the master carpenter, breathe. It's not yet complete until I breathe myself. I'm breathing a piece of myself because I love this creation so much. It's like everything else was good. Everything else was great. But he said, this particular creation is my favorite. I'm doing a little bit, I'm doing a lot more with creating this being because everything else is nice and flying through the air and swimming through the water and running in the wild and all the fruits and vegetables look great. And I got a mist. I don't even have rain. That's how perfect it was. He said, I don't even want it to rain. I'm just gonna have a mist come up from the ground. Can you imagine that? A mist, and it's gonna water all the vegetation, and all this stuff was perfect, but nothing was as perfect as what I took my time to breathe into myself. This is who we are. Through our faith in Christ, this is who we are. We are the head, not the tail. We are above only. We are super. Somebody asks you how you're doing. You know what? Answer them. I'm super. What do you mean? No one ever says that in the US. I don't think I've ever heard anyone respond when you said, how are you? Say, I'm super. I've never heard that. So next time somebody asks you how you're doing, I'm super. What do you mean? Oh, because I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. According to what? According to God's word, this is why I am super. We are royalty. All my queens, my beautiful queens in BBC, my beautiful queens that are listening online, all these kings, we are royalty. We have an inheritance that is not of this world. We have an inheritance that is spiritual, that is above everything that we can see. You are chosen. You are holy. You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. You are joint heirs with Christ. You are the workmanship of God. You are his children. You are his friends. You are made in his image, after his likeness. And you are his most favorite creation that he took the time to breathe into your nostrils so that you could live. God bless you.